and welcome to Inside the Artist. My name is Rachel Corman. My guest today is the brilliant Eric Rosinski. He is a guitarist and keyboard player for Alessia Cara. He is from Toronto and has just had a drive for music since a young age. He talks about that and how when he was younger, he saw artists on stage and always wanted to be that person. With his drive and determination, he has turned that dream to fruition. One thing that I also thought was really special about Eric was how much he loves playing with Alessia, and you can tell that they have a really deep, solid bond. And I could just tell that playing with her is more than just a job for him. Hope you really enjoyed this interview. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Eric.
Here we are.
Eric Rosinski, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been a fan from the beginning, haven't you?
Since 2017.
I like how you know when I started this.
Couldn't say a month, but I know the year.
We probably met around then, too.
I think so.
Okay.
I had just moved to LA, so perhaps.
You did move in 2017.
Yep.
From Toronto.
In January.
You're a professional musician. You play keys and guitar for Alessia Cara. You're a producer. You're a musical director. What don't you do in music?
What don't I do? I don't sing.
You don't at all?
I don't really sing, no.
Okay.
I used to sing some backup vocals in a band, but that was about it.
So you doing this interview is pretty new for you, huh? Because you're not used to being in the front.
Yeah, I had to take the headphones off because I couldn't stand the idea of hearing my own voice throughout. So
that's what's so fun about doing this is that we get to know the musicians behind the artists.
Yes, for sure, yeah.
So tell me about yourself. When did you first have a passion for music?
I think I found it in grade 8. So I don't know, was I 12 or 13, something around there, early teens. I think that's when I found guitar first. And I remember seeing guitars. It was just before Christmas. And something about, we used to get the Sears Wish Book every Christmas, and it was just this big catalog. I don't know if they have it in the States, but maybe a Canadian thing. But it's just this big catalog of Christmas gifts, and there was a whole music section, and I just have a very vivid memory of seeing a guitar in the wish book and asking for it for Christmas, and got it for Christmas and picked up guitar, and just I remember the sound of an electric guitar really enticed me into music, and just going into music stores and just playing guitar, and so I think it was around that age that I started developing a serious interest into high school and started taking it seriously in high school.
Was there an artist that you remember seeing who played guitar that inspired you to want to pick it up?
Yeah, I think a lot of different bands around, even just local bands. I'm from Hamilton, which is just outside of Toronto, but any bands in the Hamilton, Toronto area, even just local musicians, other bands at different schools. I think that was sort of my first taste of music, seeing live music.
Who are some of the favorite artists you had at that time?
At that time, I think I actually got into music and I was very into almost punk rock and even some heavy stuff. It was pretty funny. As a kid, I was introduced to music maybe through my grandfather, who played a lot of country folk music around the house. And
so it does run in your family a little bit.
A little bit. My parents would put on a lot of music when I was growing up. My dad always had this Boston album on that I loved, and Beatles. And I think I kind of really started liking bands like Green Day and Blink-182 and Sum 41. And that's when I really started loving guitar riffs and Jack White and the White Stripes and the Beatles guitar riffs. I think that was all the first sort of love for music and instrumentation.
And you started a band in high school, correct?
I did, yeah.
Were you the one that kind of put you guys together, or what was the catapult for that?
Just friends in high school. Wanting to play music. I think everyone found music around the same time, picked up an instrument, asked for it for Christmas.
How did you learn?
It's very self-taught. I took some lessons. I think when I was younger, I didn't like lessons as much as maybe now I like to actively learn. But I think when I started out, I like to do my own thing with it. But we just put the band together. It came together from friends and ended up taking it fairly seriously, at least. So,
did you guys write your own music?
Yeah, we did a lot of writing. We recorded 2 or 3 albums, and we toured. So that was my first sort of professional or professional music experience or taste of the industry. I was just, you know, packing up into a van and traveling across Canada and having five guys in a small van and going from coast to coast. And we did that three or four times.
How long was that drive?
Well, I think the drive from where we live just outside Toronto to Vancouver is, it's got to be 50, 60 hours, something along those lines.
So how many stops did you make along the way? Did you just play gigs like along the coast?
We would. But either way, you'd have to drive 8 hours a day. Or 6, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, because Canada's so spread out. It's not like the States. So
was this after high school?
Yeah, this is right out of high school. So we kind of just put these tours together ourselves. We had to do a lot of cover gigs where we're playing at bars and almost restaurant type of environments too, to just pay the way, because it was difficult at that time for us to fill a venue of people with our music. I mean, we're pretty young and pretty new. So
how did you get the word out? Because back then there wasn't social media.
Yeah,
as big as it is now.
MySpace.
MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace. I guess Facebook was coming around then.
Okay.
But yeah, back then we were very ambitious. So we just kind of hit the road, and like I said, we found ways to pay the way with performing cover songs and playing at funny bars and restaurants. And but you know, I think we got our music out there eventually, and we did well enough to keep us busy for a few years, but it sort of kind of fell apart once things started to get a little more serious. And I think it kind of naturally I think just showed, it was myself and maybe one or two other guys who were really taking it seriously. And so
How did it get more serious? Like, what were the steps you took?
Just touring more, recording more, wanting to accomplish more.
Did you know at that time that music was something you wanted to pursue professionally from that point?
Yes. I knew pretty early. Music's always been fun, but at the same time, I think I was pretty determined from a young age to have that experience going to shows. I wanted to be on stage. Or if I went to see a concert, I wanted to be the one performing. So I was pretty inspired by seeing a lot of live music.
Is that something you think you just have inside of you, or was there something where do you think you got that determination from?
I don't know. It's not like anyone in my family is a professional musician or in any sort of entertainment field. I think that they're creative, and I have a musical grandfather who brought it around at a young age. Maybe my parents are both hard workers. I think my whole family's hardworking, so maybe something there. But I think I just had it in me. I don't know what it was that clicked exactly, but I just really, really wanted to play music for a living from a young age. So,
what were some other things you were doing? I know we were talking about the band, that you were touring and taking that seriously and booking gigs. Was there anything else on the side? Were there contacts you were making? What other hustle were you doing besides that to move it forward?
I think I was just meeting a lot of people that inspired me, who were older or ahead of me, so to speak, in the industry, or someone that, you know, a lot of different friends and people that I would meet that would help teach me and inspire me to take it seriously. And
who are some of those people?
Let's see. One of my first artists that I actually played for as a hired musician, his name was Brian Mello. He won Canadian Idol, which is a Canadian version of American Idol. So he gave me a shot to play as a hired player. One of his good friends, Joe Cacioppo, is a Canadian tour manager who he actually managed our band. So he was a motivational person in our lives. Just lots of my good friends, band members, people around me at that time.
Do you find surrounding yourself around people who have the same goals in mind also help push you?
Yeah, I think that's necessary. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you find that as well, being absolutely creative yourself.
And absolutely.
I think that that's so important. I think people know it's important, but I think it might be more important than is even discussed.
Have you been conscious of that, or have you just been lucky that you've been around the right people?
Yeah, and I think it happens naturally, maybe for me, and I think maybe most people who are conscious of that. I think it just, you want to be around positive people and people that have shared interests.
Did you go to music school?
No. I got...
Was the road music school for you?
Yeah. I very much left high school and toured in a band and made zero money for a long time playing music, which I think taught me a lot. The whole experience taught me a lot. I had a phase where I applied to music school. I got denied, actually, from the Toronto Music School. But I think it was more of a jazz program.
Okay. So it doesn't fit your style, anyways.
A lot of music schools can be jazz oriented, but I think I just wasn't at that time, you know, prepared maybe to do something like that anyways. You know, I think it could have been a cool experience, but at the same time, I think that what I did with playing in a band for me was taught me a lot about just having to figure out a lot of things.
What are some of the struggles you faced on the road? Because like you said, you learned a lot. So what were some of the challenges you had that you did have to learn from?
Yeah, just everything from financial challenges to getting along with your band members to working with people on that same thought. And just self-determination, self-drive, just having an idea in your head and being able to see it through, because we had to do that as kids out of high school. We wanted to put on a show in our city and, you know, put out an album at the same time. And we had an idea and we were able to create those songs, record them, and then see through a few months later. We're at a venue and we've been able to fill the venue with kids that are coming out to support music. So I think that is so much. That is so much learning right there.
Yeah.
At least for me it was.
And it sounds like it showed you that it is possible, because you did start from scratch with your band and then put a band together, wrote songs, recorded, and then have, like you just said, filled venues. It's like you've shown that that is possible.
Yeah.
So did in a way that motivate you even more to where the success you have now?
I think so. I think it just kept growing, and I think coming out of high school and just taking on those challenges, even at the time, if they were small in the grand scheme of things, to me, they were pretty big. So it felt, you know, filling a small venue in the Toronto area with 100 people felt like the biggest thing at the time. And to see that come into fruition, I think was very educational for me, at least, you know.
And I have to ask, because there are a lot of big artists that come from Toronto. Is there a lot of competition in the music industry, did you find?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there naturally is competition. The band that I played with was a very integral part of my career, but it wasn't too long lasting. It was just a couple years out of high school. If anything, I maybe saw more competition as I got older and started playing as a hired player or...
So how did you make that jump from that band to being a session musician and a hired player for big artists?
Yeah, when the band broke up, I felt like I went through a actual breakup where I think that I was just questioning a lot, because it was something since high school that was the one serious thing for me in music. So when that band broke up, I just ended up in a place where I really had to pivot and find something new. And I knew I wanted to play music professionally. I think that's where meeting a lot of those friends and people around me that helped to motivate me and show me that it's possible came into play. So I made that transition by just reaching out to friends and other people in the music industry. I actually started working as a music teacher. So I taught kids and just put together bands at music schools, and I had a great time with that.
And then you teach others.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I took a few lessons growing up, but most of it was self-taught. Yeah.
Because then you can pass along those tips that you probably learned to other people.
Yeah.
As well.
And I think I was always, because I taught music for 4 or 5 years, I think, straight. And I taught a lot. I taught almost, at one point, I think I was teaching 70 kids a week or something. Like every day I was teaching.
Are they private lessons?
Private lessons, half-hour private lessons. And then I put together bands at this school just outside of Toronto. And so I would, you know, take 5 or 6 little 8-year-olds and say, okay, guys, we're going to put together a band, pick a band name, and we're going to do a concert at the end of the year for your parents. And
so that's where you really started musical directing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The school.
Yeah. That was sort of part of the transition. I had to go through that, which I think I learned a lot and I really enjoyed it. And I would just start to, I think at that point, I just started to play with a few different local artists. And I had a few people give me a shot as a hired player, probably way before I was prepared to do so. So, but I think it taught me fast.
And I read that you played on some music shows in Canada, right? Some Were they live music shows or?
Yeah, they were like a music reality TV show, much like American Idol or The Voice or something like that. It was Canadian versions of those shows.
Cool.
The one that was a very regular thing for me was called The Next Star. And it was basically for younger kids, like teenagers. And they would kind of foster talent in Canada and put together, you know, they would record their own music. And then at the end of the year, they would have a, you know, live show, live studio performances, live concerts. And so they had a house band. And so that was
Were there songs cool. you had to learn each week then, depending on what they were going to sing? Okay.
Yeah. So I think I learned a lot going through that process. And
that hard?
Yeah. I mean, even just the first few times performing on television was the weird thing about it. That was all so new. But I think it taught me so much. So I think that time period alone, in general, was very good for me as a musician. And
so how old were you at that time?
This is early 20s.
Okay.
So I'm 28 now, so I guess this must be 22, 23. Yeah, starting to work professionally, finding a few local artists that would give me a chance to play with them. And then the TV show thing was definitely a really good lesson in being a professional musician. So.
And how did you get those jobs? Again, is that just word of mouth through the contacts you had, or what were the steps you took to get those jobs?
Mostly word of mouth, mostly just meeting people through friends. It never felt, nothing I've ever found myself involved with came from an official, you know, audition or, application process or anything.
I was just wondering, like, management. Do you have hustling?
It all very much felt like a handshake and, it would lead to something. And I think that I made some friends at that time that were important in my life and taught me a lot. And I was always really eager to learn. Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe that came across, and at a young age, maybe just being pretty eager to learn and asking questions, I think maybe goes a long way. When people are older and in positions to help, I think that
I also think, touching on drive again, I think drive, people can tell people who are hungry and really want it.
Right.
You know, because I find this a lot with people I interview on the podcast, is that it's a similar story. Everyone's story is different, but it's similar in that it's like, oh, I made the right connections and I was hungry for it and I went for it. And it's like, and these are all another example of proof that it does happen. So I do think there is something, you kind of, I believe in energy. And it's like, if you exude that energy, if you are showing people that you're passionate and this is what you want, then people will give you opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to that.
And that must be one of the many examples. I mean, you must see so many similarities by interviewing different artists in various circumstances.
Definitely.
That must be very interesting.
Everyone's story is different, but also the common theme I see is drive and passion and forming those relationships. Like, the biggest thing I say about the TV and film industry is you have to be good at what you do, but it's also about forming relationships. I always think those are the two key things, and I think it's the same in music. You obviously have to be a talented guitarist. You have to be a talented keys player, but it's also forming the relationships, showing you can do it, and there is success available. Like, people, I think, are just too afraid sometimes, or they think they doubt themselves, or I don't know. Everyone has their own battles, but I do think, I don't know, it's just nice to hear those stories of, you're making it sound like so easy, and it's like, no, like, it's not easy, but if you are hungry for it, I think it can happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of self-limitations that we put on ourselves, I think.
Absolutely. I'm sure there have been for you as well. I mean,
yeah, and then I think, like anyone, you know, you accomplish the next thing, or you close out the next chapter, and you can take a breath, and you realize that it is possible, or you can, mm-hmm. you can do that. You can step out of your comfort zone and accomplish something.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Was there a moment that you did step out of your comfort zone? Was it the TV show? Was it playing on a big arena stage with Alicia? What was the moment for you where you fell out of your comfort zone for the first time?
I would say my first few months / years working with Alicia was an incredible learning experience. It also happened so fast. Mm-hmm. So I went from being in a place where I was kind of searching for my next thing in music when I met Alessia's management and Alessia, and I was given that opportunity. It was kind of came at a time where I was searching for the right thing or considering making a change or making a move, or I kind of didn't know exactly what was my next step. Yeah. And I, like we were just talking about, was probably feeling limited or, you know, putting, not giving myself enough credit. And I think I finally was given a chance to do something really cool and started working with Alessia. And I think that time period was definitely out of my comfort zone, but I think it helped me learn a lot really fast. And again, not only skill wise as a musician, but just walking into different rooms and different scenarios, different stages, different performance venues, whether it's a small acoustic performance on a radio station or a big festival performance or something. I mean, we went through so much so fast that it was not in my comfort zone, but I think I learned fast.
So. And you've been with her since the early stages of her career as well.
Yeah, I was with Alessia. She had been writing her first album and working in the States with a few different producers, and I think she had just signed with Def Jam, but she was still fairly unknown. She had just released her first song here, so it was just sort of getting some traction. And I remember it came out on SoundCloud and had, you know, a couple hundred thousand listens, and it was very early stages, so she hadn't done any live performances yet, per se. So it was in a rehearsal room in Toronto, about the size of this room here, that, you know, we were just rehearsing with an acoustic guitar, and very, very cool and very at the start of it all. So
how cool to have been with her on her journey as she's rising to fame as well. Like, your career is excelling and growing and you're learning so much, but also to share that with someone whose career grew exponentially just like overnight. I mean, that must have been just incredible to witness.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, I can't say enough about it. I met Alessia in a small rehearsal room. I think the next week we were in New York, like a week later after meeting everyone and starting to work with her, and we had a showcase for Def Jam. And then I think it was a week or two later, we were doing the Jimmy Fallon show. So it was pretty wild. And I had not done anything like that to date. So it was very quick. And moving all the way forward to today, I just think I've learned so much with her in general. I think just because it's led to so much work, and she's obviously done some amazing things, and I've just been lucky to work with her, and I've been able to do some other stuff on the side, and I've just been very fortunate to learn.
How did you guys meet?
I actually met her manager just at a bar in Toronto. Okay. Very, very much a handshake at a music festival that was going on in Toronto called Canadian Music Week. And it was just a local show that was happening, and I was just introduced to him, and the next morning I was in rehearsal with Alessia, so it was pretty surreal.
When you first met her, did you have a feeling she was going to rise to fame like this, or were you like, hey, here's just another Toronto artist, I'm going to play for her, see where this goes, or did you have a gut feeling that there was something there?
It was different, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she is so talented, and she's so free-flowing with her skills, and she sounds exactly like the recording every time. So it was pretty incredible to be in rehearsal with her the first few times, just to experience that. But I didn't necessarily know. I was still sort of young and inexperienced at the time, so I think I was still sort of feeling out what was going to take place. But I definitely had a feeling that there was something special.
And did you meet her? This was before your move to LA?
Yeah, this was in 2015. So I toured with Alessia for a couple of years, which was really my first, experience that took me to play music internationally, which was obviously amazing. And
travel the world.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible.
It's amazing.
And just to see it go from that small rehearsal room to, traveling to Australia or New Zealand or Europe or something like that is pretty wild. So then I moved to LA and in sort of a quiet period of our touring in 2017 when you started
when
your
we
podcast.
Met. Yes.
So.
And what brought you here? Was it just other music opportunities? I know you produce as well. You work with other artists on the side. Was it that, or was it something with her? What made you want to move here?
Yeah, I think just how much music was happening here, at least in my circle or my experience. I had started to spend more time here in between tours or in between shows and stuff like that. So I think I think like a lot of people, if you're in entertainment, I think your first experience, if you come to LA, I think you quickly see how, I don't know, it's very inspiring. There's a lot of creative people around. It's very forward thinking and progressive. I think I just had a lot of musical friends and stuff that were doing the same thing at the time, and something just kind of felt right about it. I didn't necessarily have a solid concrete reason, but
those are all very good reasons.
Yeah, it was just an inspiring thing to me at that time. I knew I wanted change. I actually moved out of my parents' house to LA. So it was my first move from just outside of Toronto. Yeah, because
a new country and new city.
Because we toured so much, I didn't have a need to have a place. So in between tours, you know, I would spend it here in LA and I would get a short-term rental or something, but it took me a few years to do the official move. And so by the time I did that, I was kind of went back home to my parents' house, packed up all my things from my old room, and we drove down with my dad. So
how long was that drive?
It was a long drive. I remember we did about 28 hours straight for some reason to the Colorado Rockies just outside Denver.
And why didn't you fly, man?
Well, I don't know. I think I just had some guitars and keyboards and stuff I wanted to bring down. And
I've done the drive from Minnesota with my dad, and that was like 4 days.
Yeah.
And we were like, this was a great experience, but we're not doing this again.
Right.
It's so long.
I like driving. I like the road trips. Mm-hmm. I like touring and traveling.
That's true. You're on the road a lot. You're used to it.
But I wouldn't be eager to do the drive again necessarily, yeah. But from Toronto. But it was a good experience all in all, and I'm happy that I moved. And I still spend a lot of time in Canada and Toronto and still consider it home as well.
What's it like when you play gigs back in Toronto?
It's very cool. I still love, I think Toronto, the whole Toronto area and Canada in general is amazing. I love living here for some of my life, but I also love spending time in Canada. Playing shows in Toronto is fun and cool. The city is so diverse.
But I mean, like, do your friends and family come? Like, it's got to be so cool to think back to your band when you were 19, just, you know, traveling the coast to now playing huge arenas back in your hometown.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. I've been able to bring my family to some cool shows that feel, you know, it feels very surreal and humbling. And seeing my grandparents come out to a show or something like that is very cool.
So much.
Yeah.
Has there been a moment, have you been present when you're on stage and thought to yourself, like, I am doing what I always wanted to do, like what you started off saying on this podcast with, you know, I used to see the musicians on stage and want to be them. Now you are that. Have you been on stage and, like, realized that and been present in that moment and been like, holy shit, like, I'm living my dream?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's, I mean, I've had that moment so many times. I think that it can be easy to get wrapped up in, you know, your own sort of world if you need to be focused on your instrument or something like that. But I think that as I got more comfortable on stage playing at some of these venues and in some of these situations, I think I found more comfort. And in turn, I just really was able to take in those moments. I think, if anything, the Coldplay tour, we toured opening for Coldplay.
Gosh, that's incredible.
In 2016, and we were able to tour in all across Europe and in the U.S. because Alessia was opening for Coldplay. So those arenas and stadiums that we played were just the most amazing experience. So
getting to travel the world with Coldplay.
Yeah, I think a lot of those nights.
That's insane.
Yeah, a lot of those nights on stage were those moments of feeling very excited about life and music.
What's the biggest lesson you think you've learned from Alessia?
Good question. I think that Alessia is such a real person, very authentic and true to the art. I don't think that she has, it's not a calculated journey for her. I think she's very creative and free-flowing and passionate and real. And I think if anything, that would just rub off on me. And I think that she's just an inspiring person to be around in general. I mean, I think what she writes about and stands for is pretty special, especially in today's climate. And I would hope that some of it rubs off on me. I think she's a very talented human being. So yeah, just to be myself and true and authentic, and I would only hope that one day I could be even close to as, you know, free-flowing with some sort of skill the way she is, because it's pretty amazing. So
she seems fearless as well.
I think she has her things that scare her. I don't know if she loves some of the attention and stuff like that, which is very natural for a lot of artists.
I think as an artist, her performing, her lyrics just come across very fearless. Like, she doesn't care what people think. She's like, here's who I am. And that's what, at least me, that's what I'm attracted to about her, that I think a lot of people are drawn to, is that she just has this like you said, authenticity, this openness. And I can't imagine, like you say, working every day with someone who is like that, that's got to help you maybe feel inspired and do better at your job and want to do a good job, rather than working for someone who's just an asshole, you know? Like, you have someone who supports you, who's...
She's not afraid to say what's on her mind and to put out a message that might be an unpopular topic for lyrics at that time or music in general. And I think that's something that's worked for her.
Do you think in turn that's made you a better artist?
Yeah, 100%. I just think working with an artist like Alessia has taught me so much, probably even subconsciously, and things I'm not even aware of, but I try to take it all in and enjoy the experience.
And now you've played like every award show, live show under the sun, SNL, you've done Conan, Jimmy. What has been your favorite, you think?
Very hard to say. So I might have to give a couple because I'm terrible with favorites. Okay. But first I'll say Ellen DeGeneres' show is always fun. But yes, one time I got to bring my mom. So just personally for me, it was a special one.
Yeah.
And it was a last minute thing where I was able to kind of call home and ask if she wanted to come down. And she came down on a whim. And it was very special. So
that's really, really
that was
special.
Fun. Yeah. Saturday Night Live was definitely a cool one. Also not in my comfort zone. We did a song that was just Alessia and I on SNL. So it was just piano accompaniment with Alessia. So I was very nervous, but it went pretty well.
Yeah.
So
did your experience from the early TV days help you for this? Prepare you for
SNL? I guess.
Or no?
I hope so. It must have. I figured it out. I mean, I would have been actually more nervous. I think I found a way to enjoy it and just kind of be in the moment. I do think I did that, but it was, yeah, I mean, Saturday Night Live is such a thing to take on.
That's
so
huge, but, though, that you've played, especially if you said it's just you and her.
Yeah. I mean, what a learning experience, and just an experience in general to be on that stage. So.
And now I know you play keys for her, but you also play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you switch off? Do you do both sometimes? What's the process like?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually always been a guitar player primarily. I took on more keyboards with a few artists in Toronto, and then subsequently with Alessia, because her music was just more, it was pop and it needed some keyboards. So I think that, you know, they brought me on to do both. So I started playing more keyboards with Alessia, and most of the live show until now, because I think some of her music now has more guitar oriented stuff. So I've been playing more guitar in the live show, but up till now, mostly keyboards in the live show. And then I'll do a lot of her acoustic performances, where it's just me and her, and I'll play acoustic guitar.
Right on.
Or we'll do a full band acoustic scenario.
Do you play on her record as well?
I've done a few songs. Yeah. Okay. I played on two sort of acoustic renditions that we did and put together. A couple times on the road, we would split off and go to a studio and we did a piano version of her song Here. We did an acoustic version of her song Wild Things. And then we just did an acoustic version of her song Growing Pains that came out on her most recent album. So it was very cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. And now you've also gotten an opportunity to work with other artists, Jason Mraz.
Yes.
Tell me about that experience.
Oh, that was cool. That was just last year. I had a friend of mine who was producing his last album and called me in, I think the day of or the day before, to do some piano and guitars on his album that just came out. It's called No. And that was really cool. It was at one point just myself, Jason, his wife, and my friend Andrew Wells, who was producing the album. And we were sitting, and I don't know how I was there, but we got to listen to the whole album from top to bottom. And I had just walked into the session. So it was just an amazing experience to be able to hear the whole album from top to bottom and sit there beside Jason and his wife. And I think some of the songs are written clearly about her. So it was almost special to see that. And I think just the experience in general was very, very cool and taught me a lot. It just taught me that I think that's sort of a situation recording with such a well-known, amazing artist like Jason Mraz. And I think something like that could easily be very intimidating, but it was the most relaxed studio environment.
Cool.
And he was just so welcoming, and the team that was working with him and everyone was just great. So
now, do you have aspirations of doing more producing as well, or and session playing, or what? Where else do you want to take your career?
Yeah, session playing and producing would both be on the list. Anything creative, where I can be creatively involved, putting together shows, playing more of a key role in the the direction of a show or putting together more live concerts, playing on albums.
Have you gotten to have a say in Alessia's show at all?
Yeah, I think there's a good, very good, healthy collective environment with Alessia's team where it's been the same group of people
since
the beginning. So, which is, yeah, very also rare and amazing because you make great friends and it's nice to keep the same team of people together. So I think with that being said, we've all been able to kind of help creatively move the show into new places. And
so if you have an idea, you can speak about it.
Yeah, it's a very, really cool, very free environment, I would say. And Alessia is just such an open book, and I've been able to kind of help her with some guitar stuff. She's an amazing guitar player and piano player naturally, so we kind of are always messing around and in the green room before the show, or you know, just helping her with different guitar arrangements of songs and stuff like that. So
now, what do you love most about being an artist?
I just love waking up, and I don't remember the feeling anymore. And this is a very lucky thing. I'm so fortunate. I don't remember the feeling of having to go to work. I just feel so engaged and connected to the world in some way. I just love I just love what that brings. I'm just really enjoy not feeling like this is work, or that I have to pass time. I don't like that idea of needing to get through the day. So I think being an artist is pretty good for the soul and the mind, I think. And just it's nice to just wake up and create things and be able to be any part, whether it's live or in the studio, of just being part of something that might exist forever. So yeah, I think that stuff is just special.
And what other goals do you have?
I think just getting better all the time at, you know, certain skills that are necessary in this business. Just being a better guitar player, better piano player, wrapping my head around songwriting and music production more. I just want to creatively be involved with projects that, you know, might affect someone's lives or speak to someone on some level. I think it would be really cool to just continue being part of music that has a good message behind it. So I think just continue to work in the studio and live with as many artists as I can that might do that. Just to continue being happy with my life and, you know, doing the things that I want to do. And, yeah, I guess just continue making a living doing what I love.
You sound very grateful.
I am.
Everything you have.
Yeah.
Which is a great way to be.
Yeah.
And it seems like the people you surround yourself with help you stay that way and help you help create an environment where you do feel like you're just not going to work every day.
Yeah. Like, it's such a blessing. I think that's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm so grateful for sure. Grateful for everything.
And let's talk about the big tour you have coming up.
Yeah.
So you're about to go out with Shawn Mendes, who's him and Alessia are doing a tour together, correct?
Yeah. Yes. We're opening, Alessia's opening the tour for Shawn in Europe, UK, and the US.
Wow. So that's, and you leave pretty soon for that.
Yeah. I leave in about a week for that. So first show is in Amsterdam and we do the rest of the tour in Europe, which is about 6 weeks. And then there's a bit of time off before the US leg of the tour, but that's over the summer. So
I was telling you, I just got notified about the LA show today. So,
oh yeah,
it's coming up soon. If American Express is telling me to get my ticket.
Well, hopefully you can make it. That would be cool.
That would be awesome. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm fans of both of them, so I think that would be an incredible show.
Yeah, they're both such cool, young, talented Canadian artists that are making some big waves right now.
That's right. He's Canadian as well. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think he's from Toronto as well, or the Toronto area. So
I told you, there's a lot of talented people from Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I think just traveling the world with another Canadian artist that's doing something on that level is going to be incredible. And any opportunity to play, again, shows like that at that level is rare. I don't think there's many artists that are able to pack an arena or a stadium these days. So
it's going to be so cool.
Very excited. Yeah.
Well, I wish you all the luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah. Thank you so much.
And that concludes my episode with Eric. I really hope you enjoyed our conversation. Eric's just like a really passionate guy who just loves what he does. And I think that really came across in our conversation. My favorite thing he said was that it's just nice to wake up and create things and be able to be a part, any part of something that might exist forever. I just thought that was so well put. I'm going to leave you with an acoustic version of Alessia Cara's song Growing Pains. Eric actually played guitar and arranged this acoustic version. Head on over to Facebook and Instagram and follow Inside the Artist. We are at Inside the Artist Radio on Instagram and at Inside the Artist on Facebook. Give a follow, let us know what you think of the show, and thanks so much for listening to Inside the Artist.
And I guess the bad can get better. Gotta be wrong before it's right. Every happy phrase engraved in my mind. I've always been a go-getter. There's truth in every word I write. But still the growing pains, they're keeping me up at night. Yeah, 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 yeah.